Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey kids, we sent out our giveaway box last week, but I realized we forgot to put the announcement in the episode, so we're going to do that right now. And please remember, we do swear. Read the comments.
Okay, so the first one was the question, Melting Stones is the first book we've read with first-person narration. How do you feel about first person point of view? And Canadian Stereotype said, I hate first person so much. Thinking about it objectively, that hatred is probably why Melting Stones is my least favorite Tamara Pierce book. So far, I have to agree.
I have feelings about first person.
So. I usually am okay with first person, but I don't know. And I started off was like, oh, it's a nice change of pace. And now it's slowly getting to me. Like, no.
It is also the first person viewpoint of a child.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
Kids are a little annoying, but.
Pierce does a really good job doing that.
Yeah.
The next one is on the question in books 5-10 of Circle of Magic. We've visited a lot of places outside Emelon. What's your favorite? And Hockey and Sword said, I love to skate, so skating around Kugisko in the winter would be lots of fun.
That tracks for like somebody ask, with that username.
Canada is cold, so.
Canadians be, hockey players be skating.
I feel like I should ask you guys that question.
What place would I like to visit? Outside of Emelon.
Like, my favorite place is Therios because I think it's interesting, but I wouldn't actually, like, want to live there.
No, that place sucked.
If you were to visit one of the places, it would probably also be Kugisko, it seems like.
Yeah, Kugisko would be fun. Just to go to, like, the, was it, like, Pleasure Island or whatever? What was that district called? Because that district sounded fun. I don't remember what that district was. Nico spent a lot of time there. He loved a lot of money there.
Yeah, that entertainment district,
Capique.
Yeah.
Capique.
Yeah, that's Capique. What it was. I would want to go to Capique. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Personally, I think I'd like to go to Chamorro just because the food sounds really good.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know a lot about like Middle Eastern style food aside from like, you know, falafel and shit and gyros. God. So, yeah. But Middle Eastern food would be.
It's a better experience for you than Briar. He's like, go to Chamorro, they said. Explore, they said. It's so delightful, they said.
Learn new languages and get insulted in them.
Yeah. Good times.
Join the child fighting rings.
I would also have to say Chamorro just because of food. I wouldn't do well there because it's really hot and really dry. Yeah. And I would not do good there because I much like a plant need moisture to grow.
And he is not a succulent.
That said, I suppose I could be a tropical, because truly, when I am in distress is when I bloom.
All right, what was our next comment?
Dancer Sam commented on Evie, Chuba Hooba was a fungus on legs. Indy, that's an insult to fungus. Dancer Sam said, this is hilarious. How rude.
Giving fungi a bad name.
Right?
The folks at Mellow Mushroom would be appalled.
Right? They're also the ones who commented on the what's your favorite bit of conlanging from the Circle of Magic. Dancer Sam said, I still whisper umvi to myself when I'm struggling with idiots or inconveniences, which, holy shit, that's a whole fucking mood.
My favorite bit of conlanging is actually the nobility titles in Namorn that I realized looking in the glossary are all weapons. I'm like, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
I like the fun street rat terms.
And then the last one was the question, what is the best piece of wisdom you found in the Circle of Magic series? And Jim Ferguson said, I won't say because it is coming up in Melting Stones in a conversation between Evie and Rosethorn, and some of you are not there yet.
I think so. I know exactly which scene you are talking about.
Well, we'll have to find out.
I'm really certain, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think my favorite piece of wisdom is also in Melting Stones, but it is a different scene. You guys might recognize it when you come across it. We'll see.
I'm intrigued. Spin the wheel!
Spin the wheel!
Spinning, 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 and
stereotypes win.
Congratulations to my syrup eating friend.
Congratulations to Canadian Stereotypes. We're gonna be reaching out to you.
Give us your home address.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading chapter 6 of Melting Stones.
So grab your cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's play the quiet game.
No!
God damn it, who gave you crack?
Chapter 6 opens with Murtide trash-talking Evie for being bothered by the island destruction investigation taking too long, but they both hide the argument from Rosethorn. Evie acts increasingly jittery, and they find a dead canyon. During a bad shock, Evie and Giant use their shirts to cover their horses, and we learn that Giant was abused by pirates. Yay. Then a bigger shake starts a landslide, and Evie and Luvo use their magic to save everyone in the nick of time. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. So let's talk about first-person narratives and annoying children.
I really wanted to like this book, but it's starting to get tiresome. This first person having crazy kids of my own coming and reading more about more crazy kids.
But yeah, this is not the escapism you were expecting, right, Brittany?
No, it is not.
I feel like that's what makes it good writing.
That's fair. I don't know. I feel like I'm usually okay with first person, but like Evie, she's awesome, but no. No, I'm really glad it's not in like Murtide's point of view. Oh my god.
he would just say nasty things about everyone.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that would be very grating. So I guess I should be thankful it's in Effie's instead of his.
I want it from Luvo's point of view.
Luvo's point of view would be awesome. It might be boring. It would read Tolkien. It would be very descriptive.
I think from Luvo's point of view would be like an internet page. Like, feel like there would just be like disconnected paragraphs all over the page.
Several tabs open.
I was so literally going to say it would be kind of hard to parse, I feel.
So yes. One section would be the actual narrative, and then one section would be just about rocks.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be okay if it was from maybe Jayat's perspective. I think that would be an okay read. He's a little bit older.
Or Oswin.
Yeah, but Oswin hasn't really been much in the story. Jayat's been in every chapter. So
it's true.
I feel like Jayat might just be really in awe of them all the time, which I feel would probably get annoying to do.
That's fair.
Oh my goodness. And then Evie did this, and then Rosthorn did this, and they have a talking rock. What?
Oh my god. Tell me everything, talking rock. It's so cool. My first was when Luvo is talking about the crystals that have a pleasing violet pink color that he's never seen before. You would think with him being thousands of years old, he would have seen something like that already. And he's still discovering things that he hasn't seen before, which is really cool. My next is Rosthorn can tell that something's going on between Evie and Murtide. Rosthorn's Murtide, you ride beside me, if you please. Like a child who's in trouble. I have to keep my eye on you. You stay right here where I can keep an eye on you so I can make sure you don't get in trouble.
I love that he's who she picks.
Right? Not the actual child. She picks the grown man to be
come here.
Right here. Yeah. Right here.
I felt like that was a very mom thing to do from Rosthorn. I've been in this situation before where you and your sibling are fussing or fighting, and then your mom comes around the corner. She's like, "What's going on?" And both of you are like, "We were arguing about hot dogs or something." Like just something, just so neither of you get in trouble, because you know that if one of you throws the other one under the bus, the other one's going to do trouble. That. Yeah, you're like, "Nothing's going on. It's fine." And then the mom is like, "All right, you come here," and the other one go
right here.
Yeah, I've been there. I felt it.
I'm sure Evie is just as stubborn, but as long as nobody else is as stubborn as my uncle and I are with our 3-hour hugging, because our grandmother was like, or my grandmother was like, no. Staying in the kitchen, y'all are hugging for 3 hours until y'all apologize.
My parents got my siblings a really big t-shirt. And every time they fought, it was their get-along shirt. And so they had to both be in the shirt together until one of them said sorry. And they would spend several hours together in that shirt because neither of them would want to say sorry to each other.
See, I did the opposite. I had a brother and sister in class year who would just pick on each other all the time. And it was just like, he's saying this about me, and it felt very much like being a mom, Miss Molly. And I would just be like, you sit at that table. Neither of you is allowed to get up for the entire class. What? Why are you standing up? I don't care if you need to sharpen a pencil. If you need to sharpen a pencil, you raise your hand and I will sharpen it for you.
It's embarrassing.
My next one is when Rosthorn is kind of getting on to Evie, and Evie's like, I didn't want to tell her I could defend myself. I was eager and nervous and vexed, but I was not ready to die. It was one thing to snap at Fusspot. I had learned early on a person who snapped at Rosthorn had best be armed for war and prepared to take
saving throws.
Be prepared to take casualties. God, that's such a good way of
that is an absolute mood.
Because it's true, she will fuck you up.
No hesitation.
Oh, hey, Brittany.
My next like was when Luvo is telling Jayat that they shouldn't use the crystals underneath for power. He was saying that they will reflect each bit of power back upon itself, then to other crystals. You would be trapped here, chained by your magic until it wore out. And it reminded me of the first book, back whenever they tried to trap something in the crystal and it bounced all back and forth. This is what is happening here too. So
throwback. My God, because that's what caused the earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because like they tried to trap it in the crystal.
It bounced.
It bounced around and got stronger and then went back the other direction.
I feel like what's going on in this chapter, I know that Evie is a kid and she is going to be annoying, but she's feeling jumpy, and it's because I feel like she's feeling some magic that's underneath, because she says she's feeling fizzy. And all the rocks that she was messing with before were fizzy. So I feel like something is going on with the magic, and it has something to do with stones. And that's why she's feeling it too. So I feel like that's what's making her so antsy.
I wondered if it was kind of affecting everyone, because I feel like Rosethorn and Murtide are also a little more snappish than usual.
Oh no, I feel like Murtide is just being like that, because I know when I was a kid, I would get in trouble by like my parent or something and be like, oh, well, I got in trouble and now my feelings are hurt. And now I want to make my sibling be angry too, because I'm angry as well. So now I'm going to pick a fight with them because I'm angry. I feel like that's what he's doing. He's being a child right now. He's like, oh, I got in trouble by Luvo. So now I'm going to go pick on Evie because she's really close with Luvo. And now I'm going to make her mad too.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. He's being a child.
That does track.
My next like was when Evie caught all the stones. Luvo helps her, and he gently lifts all the stone away from Evie. And Evie's like, I've seen parents set infants in bed with careful gentleness, as if one slip might break the baby. Like, no, it's not because they're thinking that they're gonna break the baby. It's like, oh, the baby is asleep, I can escape. Put this down, gentle, be real careful, be real quiet, back away slowly so it doesn't wake up. It usually doesn't work. You put the baby down as gentle as possible. Wake again. My next one is when Jayat is openly gaping at Evie, like, oh my God, you just stopped this. And Evie's like, what? Are the flies lonesome? Are you offering them a warm, wet home? Gross.
Yes, just nasty.
And then my last one is when Murtide doesn't want to say thank you to Evie, and he tells the side of the horse thank you. And Evie's like, I bet the horse didn't get thanked every day. That night, it would probably tell all the other horses about the strange human who stopped one moment and said thanks the next.
I was a little confused about that one. Evie knows that was directed towards her, but he
couldn't. Yeah, but she's making fun of him because he didn't say it to her.
No.
He said it to the side of the horse. And so she's making fun of him, being like, he didn't say that to me. He said it to the horse. And now the horse is going to be like, what the fuck? No one ever thanks me.
I think for me, that was probably like a first person. I got it, but I was like, it made me question whether or not, like, what?
I had a creative writing teacher in college who used the term first person once removed. And he usually used it when you're telling what is a first person story, but using you instead of I. But what you're saying sounds like maybe that's what's going on. Evie is sort of projecting onto the horse.
Yeah, I understood why, but it made me question if she knew, or like if this was just to make it more interesting for us as a reader. It kind of brought me out of it, but that was just me.
Well, it didn't do that for me. I thought it was hilarious. Like, ha, horse.
I would have written the sentence slightly differently, but I do like the fact that she's like, I bet that horse doesn't get thanked every day.
Remember to thank your horses.
Unless you're scared of them and then you run away.
I believe none of us could think of anything that wouldn't sound like fake jewels after Luvo's.
That's such a poignant. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot you can take out of it, even though it's so short. It's perfect. Like, it is so good.
And appropriate for Evie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just on point.
Tamara Pierce does it again.
Luvo, were they discussing the midday meal? I was inattentive.
Same. I am not getting involved in this. Do not include me. I know nothing.
It is very interesting how, like, Luvo knows not to say, to pretend that he didn't know. Like, how much human interaction has he had to be able to understand that that was a prudent thing to do? To not just say, oh yeah, they were fighting, instead of just choosing to, like, not make it worse, essentially.
Yeah.
Because he's a little rock dude, you know? How many humans has he been around to understand that socially, I guess, that's a smart thing to do?
No, I feel like he's been around Evie a lot, and she gets herself in enough trouble as it is. And probably knows, this will probably make things worse for Evie Maymay if I continue on with this.
Just don't.
She gets in trouble enough, so let's
avoid any unnecessary bad stuff.
It's moss on a rock. It's moss on a rock, and it doesn't want to change. Luvo did the really hard work. I just stopped it. Oogle Luvo. Oogle no one.
I like that the text tells us that Fusspot fusses over every bit of water that they come to. I don't know. There's this interesting thing that I've seen in these books where everybody fusses over every little bit of whatever it is they have magic with. Mm-hmm. So, like, Rosethorn and Briar, every time there is any plant, they're like, oh, like, even Indy pointed out when we were reading Dodge's book, the way Rosethorn reacts toward the metal plant, like, it's made of metal, but she's still like, ooh, a plant, and fusses over it. Evie fusses over every single rock. Daja fusses over every scrap of metal. Triss fusses over little bits of air. They all fuss over whatever they have magic with, but then they think it's weird when anybody else does it with anything else. And this just amuses the hell out of me. And I love it because he's a water mage. And so he's like, he fusses over all the puddles or whatever because they're like his friends. And
it makes sense, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's kind of cute the way he's like, oh, my water.
It's weird that the lack of understanding is, like, constant.
Yeah.
Because Briar
other people don't feel it, you know, but.
Right. Because there's a book where Briar talks about how he doesn't get the way girls will, like, make goo-goo eyes over inanimate objects. And he's like, oh my god, living things. It's like, I don't understand how, like, Daja goes up to a piece of metal and it's just like, oh, you lovely piece of metal. Because she's doing the exact same thing you do with plants. She doesn't understand how you go up to a tree and you're like, oh, look at the little tree. Because you know he doesn't.
Let me paint every single leaf that you have. Yes, they're very nice leaves.
Right, right.
It's very goofy.
I think it's realistic because I think that we as people do that. Somebody else will exhibit very similar behavior, but we don't recognize it in other people because it's, like, just that much different. But yeah, it's funny. And I think he's kind of cute in the way he, like, worries about the water.
He pets a water tenant in the beginning too.
Yeah,
he cares about something.
Yeah, he's like, oh, good little ocean.
I want the ocean to wear a hat again.
Evie tells Rosethorn that she's passionate about food. True.
Fair. Yes. Understandable.
Food.
I wrote, I like Evie's dedication to the markers -magic ? I'm not sure what I was saying there.
She was cleaning up the moss off the rock and then putting some little stones under it to help level it.
I understand the first part with, like, I like her dedication to the markers. Like, it's because they're stones, but I also like how she's like, these have been here forever.
For generations.
And so, like, yeah, and so we should pay some respect to them. And I like that. I'm not sure why I wrote magic with a question mark.
Because that's where they were drawing their magic from all those years.
Yeah, those markers are the locations.
she's also been going through and hunting for the residual.
That's true.
Generations of magic users have used that.
Or it might be related to what Brittany said earlier about, like, maybe...
Yeah, there's magic in them there, rocks.
Well, you had talked about, like, you think that maybe something about the magic, because, like, she's describing the fizzing, and maybe something about the magic is making her act different or act more childishly. So that might have been a reference to that. I don't know. Evie has changed her mind about plants.
No longer killers.
Yep, no longer rock killers.
Talked about that. Giant. We haven't talked about Giant yet, and I feel like we should take a moment to talk about Giant.
Him being in awe of everything?
No. The part where he's putting his shirt on. And, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I was going to talk about him later.
I'm going to go ahead and read the little passage. There's a big shake. Evie takes her shirt off to cover her horse's head. And then it says, that was very, very close. Giant, like me, had covered his horse's eyes to keep it calm. He began to unwrap his shirt from his horse's head. I stared at the long scars on Giant's back. He shrugged and said, not everybody was sad when the foreign lords killed as many pirates as they could find.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
I have things to say about it later.
Then I won't elaborate. Luvo's description of quartz is terrifying. Like, I know Brittany brought it up. It's like, yeah, you shouldn't use that you shouldn't draw power from there. And Giant's like, are you sure? Like, we'd mess up that badly. And Luvo's like, if you do that, you will get trapped in the quartz for all eternity. Okay. Not going there.
I'd rather stay out of the mirror prison.
Well, I'm glad that Luvo was there to tell him that, because if they hadn't have traveled there to help them, they would have tapped into that and would have died.
Yeah.
So they're lucky that that group is there to help them, because otherwise they'd be losing their mages.
Yeah. Rosethorn telling Luvo to be quiet.
She did?
Yeah, she did. I believe in those exact words. I believe she said, Luvo, be quiet. Yeah. Page 83.
Yeah.
Luvo, be quiet. It's she's not like doing it the way she might to Evie, where she's like, be quiet. But
the rock slide's about to happen.
It's right before the rock slide, and they can hear that something's happening. And so she's basically just going, shh.
Shut up. I got to hear stuff.
Because they're trying to figure out what's going on. But it is just kind of funny to hear, like, Luvo, be quiet.
She doesn't want to call him a liar, but she'll tell him to shut the fuck up.
Well, she's only going to tell him to shut the fuck up if she's got really good reason.
Yes. Yeah. Respectfully, shut up.
Yeah. Luvo, I love you. I respect you. Shut up. And then after the rock slide, there's a part where, like, Rosethorn's got, like, a cut on her face. Because like one of the smaller rocks scratched her, and it's like superficial, and she has like some stuff that she just like dabs on, and it basically fixes it. Yay. But Evie's like, oh no, I didn't do a good enough job. It's like, I haven't taken care of Rosethorn. I should stop those rocks.
You can't
too.
Do everything, Evie. Yeah. Can't do
it's okay, Evie. You saved everyone's life.
Yeah, I know you promised Briar to look out for her, and you did do that. You saved her life. It's okay if she gets a little bump on her face. It's okay. Yeah. You did your job. You're fine.
I really, really disliked fucking Fusspot Murtide, like his argument with Evie and how he just describes her as a gutter snipe, just taking and taking and never giving anything back. It's like,
that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, like
that's how he's treating these people. Like, send everything to my room, take, and he hasn't done shit for them yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can't expect that out of a child.
They're supposed to take from you. They're kids.
Yeah, especially someone who works at a temple that's supposed to, you know, dedicate itself to the betterment of, like, helping people, essentially.
And yeah, like, literally criticizing her on, you'd have to care for you to want to stay at the temple. Where are you showing that you care, sir? Because you're not showing a lot of caring to me, but...
Yeah. Yeah, what a fucker. God, I wish Rose Thorn had like heard that, to be honest.
He's just acting childish, honestly. Like, he got in trouble, and so he wants to make somebody else suffer for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Being a kid, even though he's 20-something years old. Like, come on, man.
Being a turd.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked when Fussbot starts talking to Rose Thorn about Evie, like, being annoying and a brat and, like, making him stop to clean the markers. As soon as he says that, Giant rides up the trail to get away from them. A little line, but he's like, I don't want to deal with this. Like, I'm not involved. I don't want to get into a shouting match between mages. I'm just gonna get away from them.
I think it's so ridiculous that Jayat 1 minute is calling Evie a gutter snipe, and then the next second he's like, you're a spoiled brat and you get whatever you want. You can't have it both ways, sir.
You mean Murtide?
Murtide, whatever, Fusspot, whatever. He's ridiculous. But like I said, 1 second he's calling her a gutter snipe, and then next he's like, you're a spoiled brat, you get whatever you want. Those two things really don't go together, I don't feel. Like,
he's just being an asshole.
So stupid.
Did we mention the dragon salt thing?
Kind of.
Not directly.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, when Rosar says stop jittering, Mila saves Evie. It's like, you've been sniffing dragon salt. Enough. I love dragon salt. I think dragon salt is funny, and it's just essentially cocaine. And the idea of a child taking cocaine because that's what they're acting like, because they keep jittering, is funny. I think children taking cocaine is funny.
See, you were like, I like dragon salt.
I love cocaine. I think cocaine is great.
And kids act like that without having to take drugs. I was just like, chill out. Stop. You're driving me absolutely fucking crazy. Calm down.
I do not want to actually make this episode because I don't want to spend the time combing through old episodes to find it, but I feel like we need a compilation of all of the drug references that we have made on this show.
Quite a few.
I would.
I mean, if somebody wants to comb through the episodes and tell me approximately where all the references are, I will string them together. I just don't want to spend the hours like going through old episodes just to find the drug references.
Oh my goodness.
There's a lot. Once again, I'll say there's magic and then there are rocks. Rocks crack. All right.
I also like the use of dragon salt here because Pierce introduced dragon salt in book 5, and because it was part of the plot line, she gave us all the information that we needed to know to understand what it is. But now she has it in her arsenal and is just like, I'm just gonna throw this in like reference, because by the time you get here you should know what it is.
Kind of like the whole crystals thing, the power bouncing around. That was right back in book 1, and we should know that as well. Right. Too.
I like the description of the rock slide with a huge slab of granite being described as a 6-ton axe. Very descriptive and awesome. And that whole scene is cool with Evie just being like, nope, stop rocks. And then Luvo takes it and he says, I have it, Ebu Meme. We are fortunate that you're so quick.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming Luvo would not have had the reaction.
No, he's very slow about everything.
Yeah, he's probably like, oh, a rock, cool. And then it's like, oh, wait, my friends are made of flesh and not stone.
Maybe
smushed.
I like that because Evie spends so much time in the last couple of chapters talking about how Luvo is so slow. And then he's like, oh, it's a good thing that you were so quick.
Mm-hmm. They complement each other.
They do.
And the last one is the very end, where Rose sort of says, let's go someplace safer and eat our midday. I don't know why it is, but sudden peril and rescue always improves my appetite.
Briar would say the same thing.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. That's a very Briar thing to say.
We almost died in an earthquake. Gorse.
That's right. I remember that's the first words out of his mouth when they get rescued, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure I know it's happened before.
Uh-huh. Yep. As soon as they're found. Hey, Gorse got food?
No wonder she's his mommy.
Yo, mm-hmm. They're essentially the same person.
They even have the same name.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
The theme that I found was parenthood. Lots of parenting happening in this chapter, even if it's not between actual biological parents. We see Rose Soren separating Murtide and Evie because they clearly cannot get along in the same room and they must be separated. Yes. So like a good mother, she takes the one that started it, even if she doesn't know it's true, but she's like, you probably started this. You come over here and you're hanging out with me for now. Takes Murtide next to him while they ride.
Grown ass adult. That's so funny.
Can't act right. If you can't act right, you're going to be treated like a child. That's what happens. You get to sit next to mommy in the car because you won't leave your sister alone.
Rose Thorn pulls up on her horse. If you two don't stop fighting, I will turn this island around.
Pretty much.
Not make me turn this car over.
We also see it with Luvo after Evie catches all the rocks and she's just kind of holding him and she doesn't know what's going on. And Luvo's like, it's okay, I got this. Like, thank you, I got this. And then kind of takes control of the rocks and lays them down gently. It's parental in the way he almost does it, at least to Evie, with the gentleness that he does it. But, you know, he also kind of sees that like Evie is in a precarious position and is like, oh, here, I got this. Let me take care of it. What I thought of was like a kid climbing on a ladder to get like cereal from the top shelf. They get it, but then they're like kind of unsteady at the top. It's like, ah, let me just get that.
I also feel like there's maybe some parenting from Luvo whenever he's talking to Jayat about the rocks. Evie's like, oh, he is in a teaching mood. I'm glad I'm not the one that's having to learn right now.
That's true. He's teaching him about unknown dangers because, yeah, getting trapped in a prison of crystal forever until the power runs out, whenever that is. Sounds horrible.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of power, so he'll be there a while.
Yeah.
Teaching moments.
I'll be honest, it made me think of the fucking recursive prison that Doctor Strange has in the Marvel movies, where he, like, everything is just kind of reflected into itself, like a big mirror ball kind of thing. That's what I thought of, and yeah, it doesn't look fun.
I think that's probably a pretty good analogy.
Not something I would want to do. I will go.
Go! Do it!
Fanciness. Nervousness. Yes. And otherwise just jittery.
Mine was the same. I said restlessness, though.
I said impatience. Well then, part three?
I guess so. Part three.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
It's the quote where Evie describes Rose Thorne's ability to fight verbally with someone and you're going to fucking lose. I felt like that was really important to me today because when Molly pulled out that fucking idiomatic dictionary, I was like, I am clearly out of my fucking depth. And I will no longer say any idioms because I'm scared.
I figured out why I wrote the word magic next to that word now. Now it makes sense.
That was your personal magic.
I didn't elaborate on it in here. I was like,
that's what I was going to say originally, but I'm like, oh, no.
Is that your step three?
More organized than that.
The page next to it is a lot more organized than that, but this one's not. Yeah, so I like Evie's dedication to the markers. I'm not entirely sure where I was going with this because this is literally all I wrote. I'm guessing that it's just like these things are old, but they have served this purpose for a long time. And I like that she's like, hey, we should respect this, right? To me, it's kind of like the way we respect old ruins or ancient remains that we found, or just showing respect to things that have come before us and the people who put them there.
I have a story that's related to that I think is just fascinating and is very related to this. They found the remains of an early hominid from several tens of thousands of years ago. Like, I don't remember exactly how long it was, but it's not human, but human-esque. Right. Upright primate of some form. Dug it up, they originally thought it was a human until they did further testing, because it was buried facing Mecca.
Ah.
So their idea was that early Muslims had came along, saw the remains of this creature and thought human. They deserve to have a peaceful, you know, like burial, like a respectful burial, and like
interesting
buried it so it was facing towards Mecca. And I just thought that was fascinating and very related to this current topic.
That's really cool and much nicer than what I thought of, which is the way that Native American tribes are currently like in battles with museums and crap for artifacts and human remains that have been dug up. Dear museums, give the people their ancestors. Deal with it.
Don't think that anybody's remains should be put on display, except for perhaps the royal family, but that's just because they've done it for how long?
Or if you've donated your body to science. But I don't think that they donated their ancestors to science. So
see, I was going to say the National Museum, maybe, is that what it's called? I don't remember what it's called, but the big museum in Cairo has like a place where they have mummies. But these are also the Egyptians that are putting the ancient Egyptian mummies on display.
Yeah.
So these are the remains of your people. If you want to do that, then that's cool. Also, I think it's cool because I got to go see them and like learn about ancient Egypt. That's awesome. But if
your own people stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't take other people's grandma and put them in the museum.
Yeah.
So my magic comes from when we see the scars on Jayat's back. A couple of chapters ago, Jayat was talking about how people are nice. Evie basically was like, no, people suck. And Jayat was trying to get Fluvo to be like, hey, tell her she's wrong. People can be nice. Even Luvo didn't want to be part of the conversation. He's like, I've seen bad things as well. But we see here now that Jayat has been through some stuff. We had from previous chapters, I assume that he's just always grown up on this island. Yeah, they got invaded by pirates, I'm sure, but didn't seem like it was that bad of a life on the island. And now seeing marks on his back like this, having the scars, it wasn't as great as we probably envisioned of him having his life being here. And so I want to be like Jayat. He has every right to also think that people suck and that life is going to be horrible. And he wants to see the positive in everybody and wants to give everyone a chance to be nice people. And I want to be like that, have every reason to not be look on the bright side of life, but doing so anyway.
When I say I'm going to bring mine around and bring us full circle, mine's related to Goodwin's.
All right.
Nice.
Let's go.
If you're going to snap at Rosethorn, arm for war and prepare to take casualties, learn to pick your fucking battles, man. Sometimes it's just not worth it. Sometimes it's really just not worth it. I have taken to saying, I don't know, man, a lot at work recently. Because I'm like, I don't want in the middle of this. I know that all of y'all are fighting. I don't want any part of that. I don't want to deal with it. I'm just here, man.
Just try to get your job done. You don't get involved with everything else.
All I want to do is I want to walk my building and I want to embroider this stupid project.
Are you still working on the sheep?
Yes.
They've been working on it. I was seeing it.
Yes. I don't want to get between you and all of the other people that you're having a fight with. I'm not getting in this. This is not my battle. Fuck that. Yeah, so pick your battle.
Yep.
And if it's not your fight, just walk away. Pull a Luvo. I was unattentive. I think it is.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 7 of Melting Stones. These stones fizzed. The power that Jayat and the mages before him had drawn on had been there recently, filling them. I plunged deeper, hunting the source of that wonderful feeling. Here was the quartz Luvo had mentioned. It glinted in the crack, throwing the reflection of my power back at me from hundreds of facets. There was enough white, clear, and smoky quartz to keep Winding Circle and Lightsbridge supplied for centuries. Bits of the fizzing power that had passed through here clung to them like echoes of a lightning storm. Now I was having fun. Quartz has as many aspects as Rosethorn has medicines, from agates to tiger's eye, in shades of darkly smoky to colorless. There were agates at the canyon's bottom, as well as amethysts and pure white quartz. I shimmered through the white vein, then bounced along hexagonal rods of amethyst. The fades and chunks told me their stories about the times this bed had moved up as the earth shifted, then down again. I slid through the long sides, seeing my magical shadow ripple along their surface. Evumeme. Luvo's voice was thunder in the ground. echoing off of every stone there. I shrieked and shot upward. I opened my body's eyes and looked for him frantically. He sat next to me, seemingly just a green and purple and crystal bear worn down by water. "Why did you do that?" I shouted. "That hurt." "We have company," Luvo said quietly. You would never believe that he had made every rock underground within miles bang with the sound of his voice. "You should greet her." "I was fine. I was minding my own business. I was just..." Nori stepped into my view. "What are you screaming about? And where did you find the talking rock?" She stood next to us, her arms folded over her chest. I glared at her. "Why are you here anyway?" My head hurt badly enough from Luvo's voice that I didn't care if I was rude or not. "You are not a mage or fixing person or person who looks after her mage." Treek's all full of remorse for being bad last night. "I am taking advantage and getting free of the house for the day. Not that it's your business, person who looks after her mage. As titles go, that's not very impressive. Will you answer my question or not?" I stared at her. How did someone so pretty get so hot-tongued? "Do your parents worship at the fire temple every day of their lives?" "My mother worshipped money. Then her ship got hit by lightning and sank while it attacked Winding Circle 8 years ago. My father and older brother worshipped Erda and Lakik like sensible people, praying to Lakik's good luck side. Pirate chasers mistook them for fierce outlaws and killed them. I'm skeptical on the whole question of gods at the moment." If saying these things bothered Nori, it didn't show on her face. "You still haven't told me where you got the talking rock."
Woof.
Man, that
I'm
going
to have
so
to add
cool.
pirates to the board.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake it us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week. Each language has its own little idioms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there are a handful that I absolutely love.
English is particularly idiomatic.
Yes.
Mm. Like above average on the idiomatic spectrum.
I don't know if we need to have a cow about it, but yeah. Okay, I can't beat the dictionary goodness. Of English idioms. My God. I did not know what I was getting into when I said that.
What a nerd.
I was like, I'm sure I can line up a couple, another one or two.
Yeah, but no,
I'm just going to start like, let's
give
see.
Up. Nope.
Which
I give up.
Shall we use?
I am melting under my desk because
we're going to get idioms about cows. No.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.